Welcome to the Activation Podcast, brought to you by the Conscious Resistance Network. I'm your host, Derek Brose. With every episode of the Activation, we will explore solutions in the areas of health, permaculture, decentralized technology, spirituality, and hidden truths. The Activation Podcast is focused on providing cutting-edge solutions to empower humanity. Hey everyone, this is Derek Brose with the Conscious Resistance Network and the Activation Podcast. Today we are back with another exciting episode. I believe this will be a great conversation. It's the first time we're really connecting between myself and my guest. And, you know, he focuses on self-sabotage and how to help people through that. And for anybody who's followed the work that we do here at the Conscious Resistance Network, theconsciousresistance.com, for the last 10 years, that has also been a focus, maybe not in the same path that my guest has taken, but in terms of trying to get people out there thinking not only about what freedom means in the physical realm, but what freedom really means in the mind and the heart and the spiritual realm. Because if we're not free in those realms, then ultimately we won't be free in the physical world. So it's really important. And as somebody who has spent quite a bit of time throughout my life self-sabotaging and just destructive behavior in my younger years through drugs and alcohol and sex and other behaviors, I'm really excited to hear the approach that Jason Kristoff has taken. So please welcome to the Activation Podcast, Jason. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Derek. Yeah, we're just like me a little bit with a checkered past. I liked hearing that before I jumped on. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll share a little bit about my background, and maybe we can start with you sharing with my audience. But for those who don't know, and since we're first connecting here, when I was 20 years old, I just turned 39 last week. When I was 20 years old, I got addicted to drugs, crystal meth, hard drugs, alcohol, and spent, about a year and a half doing that coming out of high school until I ended up being locked up at 20 years old, right before I turned 21. And it was in prison where I discovered meditation and prayer and have been on this healing journey now for the last 19 years. And after that, once I got out of prison, discovered all the other fun truths about our world and got into journalism and activism. So it's been a journey, but that's why, besides, I'll mention right off the bat, we're going to have you at the Greater Reset next month here in Morelia, Mexico. And I'm excited about that because I think you have a lot to offer in these arenas. But this conversation, I think, will be impactful for people as well. So maybe we'll just start there and you could tell us a bit about your background, maybe some of that checkered past and how you ended up doing the kind of work you're doing today.
Yeah, I had the same mind virus as everybody else had watching the movies. This is where a lot of our programming comes from. And I went to school. I went to McGill University up until 24 years old. I graduated from McGill. Then I started my first business and it was very successful. So there was a problem where you have these programs. And if you come across some money, there's money programs, but there's also this background noise, these self-abuse programs that sort of the ruling group puts litters throughout the media. And that was triggered in me. And I went for a real tailspin using my business success and funding my own destruction, my own self-abuse, got into alcohol, cocaine, steroids, and everything else that was unhealthy, unhealthy food, unhealthy relationships. And then I sort of first stepped out of it. I got to the Czech Institute. Paul Czech really helped me find my path with the better nutrition. And then I became sort of a certified holistic lifestyle coach and an exercise coach. And I started coaching people and I thought they would turn their lives around, but they had the same programs that I had. And it was sort of getting embarrassing. They would pay me thousands of dollars. They couldn't lose the weight. They couldn't stop their wine, their cigarettes, their alcohol, their drugs. And so we were all chasing our tail, rearranging the furniture on the deck of the Titanic. Money was being exchanged, but nothing really beneficial was happening. So I phoned the Czech Institute and said, look, these people are giving me money. I got these great certifications. I know this knowledge is effective. Why won't these people follow through? They said, well, you didn't go far enough in the certification. There's something called mind viruses. There's something called the subconscious mind. There's programs they're running. And frankly, they're too afraid to be their best selves. And I said, why would anybody be too afraid to be their best selves? They said, well, you're going to have to look into some of the books we'll send you. And then I started to understand their programming and I had to take a different approach. I had to basically use mind control and brainwashing methods against my clients so that I could keep them on their eating regimes and their exercise regimes and help them away from their addictions. And I put myself out of business is what I did. It was so effective. I was happy, but I didn't really have an income at that point, other than the fitness clubs. I did own some fitness clubs at the time, but I thought, this is great. I want to expand this. So I started teaching these techniques, how to sit people down and explain this to them. And I started teaching these techniques sort of in a school. There's medical doctors in the school, chiropractors, health coaches, and just members of the general public. And I would just teach them how to basically mind hack their clients to try and break their self-abusive programming. And no human is born like this, by the way, Derek. My programming was the same as yours. It came from the lamestream media, and we just didn't know how it worked, and it infiltrated us. And that's where my explanation starts with all my clients and everybody I teach at my school. If you can explain this properly to someone, they start to see it, and that can really break the spell right there to start. So that's sort of my background. Right now, I have an international psychological reprogramming institute where I take groups about four times a year. And I run one group, like two classes per year, where they get a certification as a Christoph certified self-sabotage coach, which is basically psychological reprogramming expert. And then I just run another two groups through their own regime of breaking their own self-sabotage. No certification. They're just really interested in cleaning themselves up. So I meet with clients in groups four times a year at this psychological reprogramming institute.
Very cool. Very awesome work. Let's dive in a little deeper to that. I mean, so maybe if you could elaborate on some of the, you talked about some of the self-sabotage and the sort of the narratives that you bought into, and I shared some of my own, but what are the common things that people come to you? Is it drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sex addiction? Like, what are people dealing with?
Well, they're dealing with the group that organizes all the programming. They don't care what whack-a-mole mallet that you pick and smash over your head. They just sort of make you afraid to be your best. And in mind control realms and in brainwashing realms, 80 to 85% of all mind control is repetition. So there's a lot of repetition in our media that has normalized the use of poisons that dull a person's potential. And it's so repetitive. Like, let's just take alcohol, just sort of your base foundation of alcohol. It's served on the planes. It's in your hotel room. It's in every movie. It's in TV shows. It's so normalized. The average person doesn't even understand that. I mean, Dr. Mark Hyman, not that I trust this man 100%, but he just released some studies. There was a meta-analysis, and I've been trying to get people looking at these meta-analysis over for the last 20 years. And when you look at alcohol, there's no proof it's healthy. It's not healthy in moderation. In fact, any amount of alcohol that you consume reduces your lifespan by, I think it was like, if every ounce of alcohol you drink, it reduces your lifespan, I don't know, 5 minutes or 6 minutes. There's no benefit whatsoever. And if you go into the realm of mind control and just understand that these movies, the movie productions, the TV productions, you'll see the alcohol, you'll see the marijuana, that's not even their favorite ones. Their favorite compound for dulling someone's shine is actually caffeine. This is their most powerful weapon, because not only does it damage the body unbelievably, it changes brainwave patterns to make the person who's caffeinated more prone to the next repetitive barrage that they get thrown down their retinal nerve. So we're not really dealing with a complex control grid in regards to mind control. There are repetitive content. We have a part of our brain that counts repetitive content because it assumes the repetitive content of your environment reflects the bigger herd. This part of the brain is called the subconscious, and it basically wants you to be safe. So it really wants to know what the bigger herd is doing, and then it forces you to mimic, mirror, and emulate the bigger herd. So this is all unconscious. It's like a cut healing. You don't have any say. This is a safety-based process similar to a cut healing. You don't have a say, but not many people know that their behavior falls into that category. So we as humans have this natural propensity unconsciously to pick up the repetitive content of the environment and mimic, emulate, and mirror it. The people who rule us know that, so that's why they control. All they give us is drown us in a tsunami of negative repetitive content. And then that's their first weapon, sort of hijacking our natural human design to seek safety by mimicking the majority and identifying what the majority is doing by documenting the repetitive content. That's their first punch. Their second swally against humanity is it's proven that if you're toxic, if you're caffeinated, if you have alcohol in your system, if you have any poisons in your system whatsoever, it registers as you being injured inside the neurological system. Like alcohol is a poison. If you drink alcohol, you're poisoned. And then the system says, okay, you're drinking poison, you're injured. Injured animals need more group acceptance because they're weaker. So this group not only controls our repetitive content, they drown us in all these poisons. It doesn't matter if it's injectable poison or they normalize all these other poisons through repetitive hypnosis. They're basically making sure that you're weakened to the point where your natural propensity to mimic is upregulated like 100%. It goes to a doubling effect. And not everybody who drinks alcohol can be put under mind control. Not everybody who, you know, smokes weed can be put under mind control. Not everybody that drinks coffee can be, but they don't care because the natural rate of humans, it doesn't matter what mind control experiment you want to go review, you get about 30% of humans across the board that will simply mimic, copy, and emulate the repetitive content that's thrown on their screens. They don't even really know why. They don't even know why it's 30. But they also know that if you caffeinate that group, you give them alcohol, you poison them with like Teflon pans, microwave food, the birth control pill, you could even have a bisphenol A on the liner of a takeout coffee cup. That's a toxin. And when the body is poisoned, it's injured. The body recognizes that an injured body is weaker. And if you're getting sort of labeled as weak by your own neurological system, it volunteers you to mimic more because it doesn't believe you can put up a fight against the majority. So everything this group does is based on this modality of controlling the repetitive content, normalizing the intake of poisoning, like literally drowning the population in a tsunami of poisons every single day. And every level that person intoxifies themselves, the potential for them to follow the crowd is increased exponentially. It's not a guarantee, but they're just playing the long game and they're like playing the casino odds that the more they poison humanity, the more of this mimicking effect that they will get, and they really benefit where they can get the herd running in one direction or the other, and they will control what direction that is through the repetitive content in their movies and in their TV shows.
That was a great breakdown. I really appreciate that. And I want to get into some more of the courses you have in just a moment, but a couple of things you said there stood out. For one, those who are following my work regularly, my journalism, will be familiar with these different toxins you mentioned, everything from BPA. Of course, we could add fluoride in the water. We could, a number of different things that are affecting people. And, what brings to mind is that over my years, I've tried to really try to kind of understand or narrow down, is there, like, for example, both you and I struggle with drugs and alcohol and different things, and I'm sure some in the audience, but we found our way eventually, and not everybody does. And then you have other folks who maybe You know, they grew up drinking soda all the time, drinking fluoridated water, consuming the programming, the TV, the pop culture. And then again, something happens in their life. It's usually, in my experience, it's usually like a life-changing event, like a death in the family, or for me, it was going to prison, or you hit some kind of bottom. And then it causes you to really challenge and question the way you've been living your life. But have you, as somebody who's studied these different, you know, kind of self-sabotage behaviors, have you been able to, or do you think there is a specific formula? Like you said, they, the people, the what I call the predator class, they don't even really know 100% if these things are going to turn out the way they want. They just kind of throw everything at us, and it creates these circumstances. But do you think there is there a specific formula? Because I definitely watched a lot of TV when I was younger, and I was drinking fluoride up to a certain age. But, you know, some of us can wake up, and some of us, it seems like, can't. You know, what do you think about that idea?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we see here is traditionally in ancient cultures, there was something called the rite of passage, where they knew it was like really, really dangerous for a child to keep getting older, but not have the attributes of an adult. So they used to have this rites, these rites of passage. So there would be a challenge, there would be pain, there would be immense fear, there would be potential failure, and you know, facing of death. Like in Sparta, in ancient Sparta in Greece, one of these cultures who knew, hey, we can't have children in adult bodies, we can't have adults acting, talking, and thinking like children, or their culture will collapse. So they would have a rite of passage for females, which was usually the pregnancy. And that was around 13 or 14 years old. And for men, they would basically put the men outside the city walls and say, you know, don't come back for 7 days. You have to start taking the world under, you know, under your own tutelage. There's no one there to help you. So there's a lot of fear. And it's known to sever the bond too between the adult and the mother. And that's very important to sort of get this independence. So these rites of passage involve fear, failure, you know, panic, and facing of one's own, you know, potential of death. And it seems that this is the trigger point that can basically get someone mature enough that they basically live life on their own terms, that they're not going to be influenced by the crowd as much. So this is a weird pattern in our, so not only we've given up these rites of passage in our current society today, we can't even really find the rites of passage because they involve pain, they involve failure, and our social engineers know that. So they say, okay, if we give them too much pain and too much failure and let them experience life, they'll morph into adults. And they don't want you to morph into an adult. Like I morphed into an adult by hitting rock bottom, and that's painful. And then you morphed into an adult by experiencing pain. So this is sort of the double whammy of the alcohol and all these sedative substances, Derek, is that they're not only purposely littered throughout the slave camp because they change brain function and make us more compliant, they also dull our nervous system and put us in these pain-free comfort comas so we never experience the full suckness of our sucky lives. So we never have the ability to feel our pain in order to mature. So I don't know if I answered that question correctly, but in this aspect of research, the reason some people say coming to the greater reset, they've morphed because they reached so much pain. They just said, look, I can't follow my mom anymore. I can't follow my dad. I can't follow the crowd. I can't do what the teacher says. You know what? That path was too painful. I got to go my own way. It might be lonely, but it's a lot better than the massive pain I just experienced, just trying to fulfill societal expectations. And the people who are that are evolving are people that feel their pain, you know, that can figure out logical and rational solutions, they have full capability of their brain function because they're clean. And don't forget, a poison brain and a healthy brain, they're two completely different entities. Like if you have a toxic brain, you only literally have electrical conductivity in the limbic system, which is what calls the reptilian brain or the R complex or the hind brain. It's low IQ. It's very childlike. This is another reason they poison us within the inch of our lives, because it gives the social engineers the brain function that they need to manipulate us. This is why health is the enemy of the system, because if you bring health to a society, you aren't going to get the brainwave state where government is accepted. The prefrontal cortex, or the frontal lobe, which is the part of the brain just behind the forehead, that part of the brain will reject government outright. This part of the brain does not want anything to do with anybody else taking the lead in their lives.
Yeah, again, some great insights there. You know, what came to mind, I'll share with you a little bit. Some of my audience might be aware, but so when I quit crystal meth, I quit with the help of cannabis. Cannabis definitely helped assist me over that time period in dealing with the anxiety of all the, you mentioned caffeine. Like I haven't touched caffeine in a decade plus. I don't drink coffee or do anything like that because the stimulants kind of messed me up for a good bit. And getting clean and sober off that, cannabis was a useful tool for me. But at the same time, in recent years, recent months, really recent weeks, I've actually been quitting cannabis. And I did a video about this a couple weeks ago or a month ago, just sharing that with my audience and posting on social media. And it's really interesting to me because obviously there are many people who understand the potential benefits of cannabis as a medicine, whether that's dealing with physical pains or anxieties, and that does exist. But also, because cannabis has become so commonplace in many areas, just like with alcohol, you know, you can buy alcohol anywhere you go. And so in my experience as a former addict and having seen crackheads and meth heads, like when somebody's dealing with that kind of addiction or trauma, it reflects in their physical body. They get skinny, they look nasty. You can clearly tell this person is not doing well. But if somebody's just having a drink every day, you don't really notice it as much. If they're smoking a joint here and there, it's all become so much more accepted that those kind of habits, they can be equally destructive. But you know, how many people are thinking like, wow, you know, Johnny's been smoking a little bit too many joints lately. I think he might have a problem. You know, typically it's just like, okay, he's getting high or he's just having a drink with us. But they are so capable of being just as equally destructive as you just described, you know, and talking about kind of the clouded mind and the drugged mind and the difference between it. And I can say that since I've been on this kind of recent exploration of like, how much do I really need cannabis and how much have I been abusing it or leading on it or, you know, avoiding things. And you mentioned something there a moment ago, and that is exactly what I've experienced. Like from the first 3 days of quitting a few weeks ago, I started to have physical sweats while sleeping, which I've never experienced with cannabis before. And just with time and reflection, realizing like, okay, I've been leaning on it way more than I used to. Before it was like a casual thing that I appreciated and that would help me periodically deal with some anxiety. And now it's become a thing where I'm sitting at my desk, I'm working, I'm accomplishing things, but I'm also smoking throughout the day. And even just with the first couple of days of taking a break, I had sort of a kind of an emotional breakthrough talking with my wife and realizing that, wow, in the last 5 years, my father's died, my grandmother's died, two of my good friends, you know, several pets, and that I haven't been dealing with those things, and that cannabis was allowing me to kind of, you know, avoid dealing with it. And the moment I took a break even and just was clear-headed for a few days, all of a sudden those emotions and things started to come to the table. And I'm somebody that I think, generally speaking, compared to maybe the average person, does deal with my emotions in a pretty good way. But even with that, I could see, I was like, wow, the cannabis has been allowing me, which maybe is what I needed at that time, but allowing me to avoid really deeply dealing with and processing these traumas and these pains. So yeah, that just came to mind when you were sharing that, and I wanted to share that with you because I've been kind of going through that lately. And I do think there's something to be said for being clear-minded. You know, whether you're somebody who's going to be sober 100% of your life forever and ever, there is something to be said for at least resetting yourself, resetting your body, your mind, getting clear of toxins, whether those are toxins you choose to put in your body or toxins that are difficult to avoid in the environment. You will find some clarity on the other side.
Yeah, it's about progress, right? It's not about perfection. If there's someone smoking, you know, 10 joints a day and they go down to 3, this is what the body loves. This will give them sometimes, like you said, the person would needed that. It would be a transitionary point or transitionary substance. When I quit alcohol, it was over a longer period. And inside, you know, the Psychological Reprogramming Institute, and when we get into what the solutions are and what it looks like in real life, because you can't lie to people about this progress. Like when you're coming out of the matrix, you're going to find yourself turning around eventually and going right back into the matrix for that sedation. And that's the, you know, we teach as well that the body can digest, obviously it can digest food, but it can digest trauma. Like if there's a death of the mother or the father, very traumatic, too many deaths at the same time. And if it's too traumatic, you know, your body can digest the trauma and it can kind of leave the system. But if you don't explain that to people that, you know, your trauma can leave, but these substances, this is another sort of spiritual aspect of social engineering. The social engineers know that we go through various traumatic events as humans on this planet, more traumatic events because this group is at the helm. But they also know that the body can get rid of the trauma unless you don't feel it. In order, like, I don't like that phrase, in order to heal it, you got to feel it. But this is how the body digests and kind of wakeboards its way up. And then you basically start digesting or getting rid of your trauma sort of one piece at a time. Sometimes it's through what's called chunking, where you can kind of let go of certain memories every single day. But if you're having coffee or if you're having alcohol or flour or sugar, this dulls the nervous system from doing its digestive magic show. And so not only would the person get all his trauma pushed back down into a system, and that'll make him sick or her in one level, like emotional trauma that stays with you can really knock you down the disease ladder to bigger and bigger diseases. But the substances that do the pushing down of the trauma and keep it in your body, like the coffee, that'll give you a whole bunch of other secondary and tertiary disease results. So you can have emotional-based diseases because those emotions your body doesn't want to hold on to, and you're not allowing it to digest because you want to be in a comfort coma. And then the substances that bring on the comfort coma, they give other diseases. So that person gets really, really sick and they don't know why. And again, it's being normalized in our society that if you're having trauma, they're like, hey, you know, there's something wrong with you. It's not the society that's screwed up. It's you. And they'll tell you, hey, you know, trauma or pain, that's a goblin. You gotta get away from the goblin. But the truth is that pain is a guardian. It's what will sharpen your sword. Iron sharpens iron. It'll bring your best logical and rational thought processes to the forefront. It'll mature you. It'll individuate you. And in our society, if someone says they're having a bad time, everybody wants to suck that person out of the bad time and remove them from what I call the pain teacher. So the pain teacher has all these valuable spiritual messages for us. But you got to be strong enough and courageous enough to invite the pain teacher in when she knocks on the door, free of all sedative compounds, and say, okay, come on in. I'll answer the door today. I'm ready. I'm ready to mature. I'm ready to individuate. Sit down and give me the lessons and teach me what I need to know. I'll go put on a pot of tea. I'll come back. You got me for as long as you need me, but I don't want to keep chasing my tail here, running east looking for a sunset. And I'm finally ready to hear the message. And the whole society is, if you're depressed, like I know so many teachers or people that work for the government, it's depressing work. It's like working for Darth Vader down on the Death Star, and they're depressed. And when they present or exhibit the depression to their family doctor. The doctors say, hey, you know, that's a goblin. It's not trying to help you, but really the doctor is there inverting the message. You know, spiritual guides or health guides should be like, yeah, you got to sit with this pain. You're not depressed because your mom didn't pack you Zoloft in your lunch. You're depressed because you're off the path. You're probably getting closer to the left-hand path than the right-hand path. And if you don't reconcile that those messages and they cover it up with the antidepressants, which is what most medical doctors will prescribe for anybody that's depressed, we get that process I just described. The antidepressants are side effect laden. They're toxic and not dealing with your emotions. And if you keep walking the left-hand path and ignoring the pain teacher, thinking pain's a goblin instead of a guardian, you're going to get a secondary set of diseases. So it's a real, you know, it's like trying to staple water to a tree. You can try all day long. It's not going to work.
Hold that thought. Hey, everyone, I want to tell you about something new that I've launched this year and that's going to continue to grow in 2023. On theconsciousresistance.com, we recently launched TCRU, the Conscious Resistance University. And the first course we're hosting is my investigative journalism course, How to Become an Independent Investigative Journalist, which is now available to anyone to access. I previously did this class live. I had 14 students, and it's a 6 weeks course where I give you all of the skills that I have, all the skills that I've learned over the last 13 years as an independent investigative journalist. We talk about how to conduct interviews. We talk about the history of journalism, key terms you should know, investigative tools, research tools. We talk about how to use social media, how to start your own website. And also I give you a chance to complete a project and send it to me, which I will publish on theconsciousresistance.com as well as through my independent media partners. Now, I really encourage you to check it out. You can go to theconsciousresistance.com/TCRU. And this is the first course we're offering. Right now, there are plans to bring in several new courses in the coming months. These are going to include privacy courses on blockchain and cryptocurrency and using the internet just in a safe way. We're also going to hear some meditation courses from my partner, Miriam. There's plans for potential courses about Spanish speaking and so much more. So I encourage you guys to sign up right now and to stay tuned for the courses that are coming. Again, the website is theconsciousresistance.com/TCRU. Now let's get back to the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of reemphasizes the importance of really the message of what we're promoting here and a big part of the Greater Reset as well, which is that if we don't work on those healing those various traumas and getting to the root of it, which is really what you're saying here, you know, because the drugs and the alcohol, the sex, the gambling, the whatever else, distractions are all just a symptom of other things. And as you mentioned there, too, once you ignore those things, if you ignore the healing work and getting to the root causes, well, those root causes lead to other repercussions and health repercussions. So, you know, what came to mind as you were saying that is just, you know, this kind of idea that if we heal our individual traumas and get to the roots of those, then we can prevent disease, you know, and all the other things that come along with it. So, I mean, it is as trite as it might seem to some in the audience, because unfortunately, and maybe this is something you've come across, that in my work of doing journalism that touches on everything from ritual abuse and Jeffrey Epstein and the Finders cult to fluoride in the water and to all these heavy topics, there are some folks I notice in the audience who probably need the message we're sharing today more than anyone, but they run away from these kind of conversations because they would rather just obsess over the problems. They would rather hear us talk for the umpteenth time about pedophilia or this drama or what is this celebrity doing or what's the headlines in the news. And not to say we shouldn't be informed, because of course obviously we're trying to build a better world and part of that is waking up to the lies and the matrix. But if you get stuck in that realm and kind of just spend all your time, well, what's Jason talking about, what's Derek talking about, what's this, you know, and just going through the podcasts and the documentaries and not changing anything about your personal life and the way you live your life, then I think that I don't think that's going to be a recipe for success. And unfortunately, I see quite a bit of that in the broader online freedom community. Now, thankfully, the community we've kind of built around the Greater Reset and this idea that, hey, we shouldn't just sit around and watch the world get worse in 2030 and beyond, that maybe we should take our lives into our own hands. Maybe we should take some personal responsibility. Maybe we should take responsibility for our own mental, physical, and spiritual health and for where our food comes from and get to know our neighbors and build communities that respect these things, right? So it's very much a proactive, I would say, empowering movement, but there are still those out there who I think are kind of in those other layers. Have you come across that maybe in your work on self-sabotage, people who just obsessively focus on the problems and can't seem to kind of shift to focus on solutions?
Yeah, and that's generally, there's a category called insidious programming, which means it's so common, you're going to have a hard time seeing it. And don't forget, we mimic, copy, and emulate the most repetitive content in our environment. But if you watch Netflix, everything's a conflict, everything's a problem. And to be honest with you, if there was a film on Netflix about my life, no one would watch it. Because there's some problems, but it doesn't have that problem-laced storyline that's going to keep you riveted, like Mission Impossible 5 or something like this. So the people can be mimicking the chaos-based, the latent messaging that's chaotic inside their media releases. And then the thing about this part of the brain is, When it mimics the content of your environment, it's doing so because it's the most repetitive. So it kind of labels it with a stamp as that's safe. So these people that watch all this conflict and fire starter based programming, you're training your neurological system to stamp chaos and crisis and fear and panic and terror. You're getting your neurological system to stamp that as safe, but it's a double stamp system. Once it stamps the fear and panic and crisis reality as safe, it stamps, you know, a peaceful night with your girlfriend or a peaceful night with your husband, unsafe. Steady finances, unsafe, because there's no chaos there. So the dangerous thing about the programming that the media is, you know, littering throughout our TV shows and our films is that it's always marking what makes our life worse as safe. And it's also this double stamp system. The stuff that would really make our lives better gets automatically in the same neurological swing as unsafe. It gets stamped as unsafe. So this is why there's so many people in the community that can't focus on what is going to make their life better. They're like, oh, you know, Jason did this and it's the 633 or Christoph's a tranny, you know, because I even got that, or he's a tranny or she's a tranny. And they're getting their neurological system paved through the repetitive content. They've exposed themselves over for 20 years. And yeah, there's a lot of this programming going on in the truth movement. And, you know, when I come to the greater reset, I do, my goal is to give the best mind control presentation I've ever given. So people understand how this stuff, what it looks like, how it works, the simplistic model behind it, and really the hardcore solutions to start working their way out of these systems of control.
And that's exactly why we're having you, brother. That's exactly why we're excited to have you down, because we do want to hear from people who are bringing that empowering message. And for anybody who hasn't checked it out, I'm going to include the links to Jason's websites here, all the courses. We got a few I'll show on screen. And of course, I'll put a link to thegreaterreset.org where you can find out more about Jason and some of the other speakers that we have going on. You know, the reason that we, myself and John Bush and my other partners in the Greater Reset, the reason we originally started to put this together, it was in the summer of 2020, going into 2021, and we could just feel and see online shortly after the World Economic Forum made their Great Reset announcement in June 2020, we could see that there was a lot of panic, there was a lot of fear. I was living in Mexico, where I live part of the year, and there was a lot of Canadians and Europeans and Australians and anybody who could get out of their country coming into Mexico and looking for answers. And we decided, you know what, if we don't do anything, if we collectively as free-thinking, forward-thinking people don't take proactive steps, then what's going to happen? January 2021 is going to roll around. The World Economic Forum is going to have their annual meeting, and everybody's going to obsess over what Klaus Schwab did, and we're going to put all our energy into them, just giving them our energy, right? And we didn't want to do that. It didn't feel like it would be satisfactory. So the idea originally was like, let's just meet at the same time as them. We'll meet for 5 days just like they do in Davos, but instead of talking from top-down technocratic control, we'll talk people-powered solutions. We'll talk about mental, physical, spiritual health, which is day one where we're going to have you speaking on. We'll talk about permaculture and food independence, getting, you know, people more aware of how to take care their food into their own hands. Day three, focus on everybody who's doing parallel systems. I saw on your website you had something about unschooling, you know, things like unschooling, homeschooling, alternative currencies, alternative health systems, just everybody who's trying to build the next stage on day three. And then day four is focused on taking back our tech. So this is, you're going to hear about encrypted messaging apps, privacy apps, but also people who are trying to use technology, again, in terms of growing food. We've got some really great presenters who are going to be bringing some real cutting edge technologies, who honestly are the kind of people that could totally evolutionize our world if this technology is allowed to make it to the masses. And then we're going to end things on our fifth day on January 21st with building free and conscious communities. And this is people who are presenting who are already living in eco-villages or intentional communities, or maybe who are, have their own homestead, and sharing everything about how to get started, tips for organizing your community, tips for organizing your community, your family, etc. And so much information. We have 40 plus presenters. The whole thing is available to stream for free. Everybody can sign up on our email list to get notified at thegreaterreset.org. And we're expecting 400 plus people in person in Morelia, Mexico. Again, January 17th to the 21st. There's still time to get tickets to come down and connect with people like Jason and the other speakers in person. And I really highly recommend you do it, because it, you know, it's we make it free because we know not everybody's going to be able to plan time, and maybe just it's not affordable to come to Mexico. But there's nothing like an in-person freedom movement event, especially when it's a solutions-focused event. Every single speaker, including Jason, is going to be bringing to the table solutions in these different areas I just mentioned. And so this isn't an event where you're going to come here, people talk about the same thing you could listen to at podcasts at home. This is people who are coming together for 5 days, and we call it an activation, not a conference, not a festival, although it has elements of both, because we hope that people come, they get inspired, they get motivated, and they go home feeling activated, and they take the solutions home back to their communities, back to their lives, and collectively we create a better world. And I can say the last four events that we've done since 2020 have been really life-shifting for me personally. Now I've got land in Mexico. You know, we're not just talking about it, we're trying to actually follow the solutions and the paths that we're promoting. And it's really great to see just people still coming aboard, and those who maybe were at the first event and how they came and heard a talk maybe like yours, Jason, and implemented the ideas into their lives, and now they're coming back and you can see the changes in them. It's really a beautiful thing. So we're excited to have you down, and looking forward to hearing what you share, brother. Anything else you want to mention about your courses or your website, anything like that?
I would just say, if they'd like to get on my private email list, which always sends out really shocking but helpful information, they can email me personally at info@jchristoff.com. And also, for people coming to the Greater Reset, there's night activities where we can all mingle and enjoy the beautiful Mexican evenings and do lots of exciting things together.
Absolutely. Definitely. We'll have lots of evening events. There's going to be documentary screenings, eco-village networking, potlucks, and all kinds of fun stuff, guys. Get signed up over at Jason's website. Get his emails. I'll include all those links to that and the courses. And we really appreciate everybody who does take the time to listen to these conversations. I kind of harp on my audience, noticing that, like, okay, people, like, they're drawn to the problems and they're drawn to the drama. But those of you out there who get it and who really understand the message of the conscious resistance and what people like Jason are doing, I do appreciate you, because each of us have the opportunity to be an example, to be a light in our communities, in our circles, in our families. And even if the other people around you are obsessing over the problems, or they're consuming drugs and alcohol and other destructive behaviors, you can be the one to lead by example. You can be the light in your community. So please continue doing what you can to bring some light into this world. Thank you for joining me today, brother. I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to connecting in Mexico. And as always, everybody, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.
You have been listening to the Activation Podcast, brought to you by the Conscious Resistance Network. You can find the archives of our show at Pinecast, Spotify, and theconsciousresistance.com. Thank you for listening.